Welcome to the Elliot Jolish Hour. Elliot is the business therapist, giving you access to the greatest business minds in the world. Elliot and his sources provide insight to help your business maintain a healthy life. It's therapy for your business, and it starts now. Here's Elliot Jolish.
A wonderful show planned today on this fine August 11th of 2015, and I wanted to welcome everybody. I am Elliot Jolish. I am the business therapist. Feel free to drop a question to me at questions@ecjgroup.com. I am a business coach and practitioner working with small businesses everywhere to help get them to that next level. So here we are. It's the middle of, or almost the middle of August. And as I remind people all the time, it's time to review your goals. We just ended July, and it's time to look for where am I going? How do I sit for my goals? Are they on task and on target for where I want to be come December 31st? It's also not too early to start looking at next year's goals. What am I going to do for 2016? Now, I don't mean that you have to come up with hard, fast rules yet, but it's time to have a scratch pad or a whiteboard and saying, okay, what are we going to start looking at for 2016? This is a good opportunity to start looking at how 2015 has been. What am I doing right? What needs a course correction for right now? And where am I going to go for 2016? What kind of expectations do I see in 2016? Either because I made my 2015 numbers or because I didn't make my numbers and I need to regroup and figure out what I'm doing right or wrong to make those changes. It's a challenging task. It's an ever-moving task, reminding people that to have a goal, it has to be written down. It has to be quantifiable, and it has to be, you've got to be able to measure it. You've got to have metrics. I tell people all the time that you ought to be able to, if not at least on a monthly basis, at least on a quarterly basis, and ideally on a weekly basis, be able to review your goals and figure out where am I in the bigger scheme of achieving what I want to accomplish. Whether it's the number of calls you make, the number of contacts, how many customers have you signed up, how many widgets have you sold if you're selling widgets versus looking for new clients, all sorts of different areas. One of those areas that becomes very important, and I've just been working with a client on it over the last few weeks, is the idea of SEO. And how do people find me on my website? SEO has become extremely important now. And to find a company that can do SEO right, is a huge challenge. There's all sorts of articles that you can find. In the few minutes from preparing for the show, just before the show, I pulled up half a dozen articles. All good articles, all had basically some of the same information on, first of all, what SEO is, okay? Search engine optimization, for those of you wanting the full definition. What does that mean? I had a client I'm working with had, before he started work with me, had signed up an SEO company and figured that as soon as his website would be live, he'd be number one. Well, whether those were his expectations or the expectations given to him by the company that signed him up, I don't know. Doesn't matter. Unrealistic expectations. As you talk to any SEO company that knows that has experience and has been around for a while, they're going to tell you it's going to take upwards of 6 months or longer, depending on where you are in the country or in the world and what you're trying to accomplish with SEO. That is a huge issue right there as to what you're trying to accomplish. So at the So later in the show here, we'll have a guest, Mr. John Kendall from Oski Blue. It's a local SEO company that I'm familiar with here. John has been a good friend for the last couple of years. I'm a member of the Frisco Chamber of Commerce, which is in Frisco, Texas, and John is a member there too. And John does a lot of pay it forward. He does a lot of promoting of what SEO is and what you can do for yourself without having to pay an SEO company. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't necessarily hire an SEO company, but there are things you can do without hiring an SEO company as long as you stick to it. That's an area that I always talk to people about, that you've got to value your time. And when there's not a lot of money, sometimes you have to give up a little bit of time to do SEO or other things that you would normally hire somebody else to do. But on the other hand, that's also one of those things that as soon as you have the funds to hire a third party to do that work for you and you find the right company to do the work, by all means, hire an expert. Hire somebody that's experienced in what they're doing, will do a good job for you based on what you're requiring. And because of that, it gives you more time to do what you're good at, which I'm going to assume is selling more widgets or signing up more clients or just getting out in the field if necessary to talk to customers. So it's very important. So one of the things we will talk about is the good, the bad, and the ugly about SEO. John will give some insight as to what his company does and how they go about handling SEO and the different kinds of SEO. So before we get with John, and he'll be joining us at the first break here, I want to go back a little bit and let's look at the idea of one of the biggest issues I always run into with especially a startup is a lot of it has to do with poor planning or improper planning, not necessarily poor, but improper planning, and underfunding, not planning enough capital for the length of time that you think you'll need it before you can start generating either income and particularly a profit. And then to go back and analyze, at least on a quarterly basis and maybe even on a monthly basis, your financial situation to determine what I am spending, is it being spent in the most effective way? The government tracks some records, some numbers on businesses that are started, and most businesses are classified as small businesses if they have less than 500 employees, which is like 95% of all companies. And I believe the numbers for 2014 may be out. The last numbers I saw, which were 2013, is there's about 650, I want to say, new businesses starting every day. Unfortunately, there's about 750 businesses that are also quitting every day. And a lot of times I get people calling me up wanting some insight, and it's unfortunately too late. Because while I enjoy my job, I do a lot for people, be happy to help people out, do a lot of pay it forward. I can't give everything away for free. I hope people wouldn't expect me to, and I don't expect you as a entrepreneur or a business to do that either. You set your guidelines as to what you do. I would believe it's very important for you to pay it forward and as well as give back. Figure out what kind of charitable organization you want to support, and then create a pattern or a process. We just had the food service, Frisco Family Services here has a food bank, a food pantry, and summertime is always tough. So this past week, last week, quite a few restaurants, not all of them, but about a dozen restaurants in the Frisco area donated a portion of their earnings for that a particular day. You went there and bought a meal, and 10 to 15% of that went to Frisco Family Services to help them rebuild their coffers, you might say, so that they could buy more food, as well as there's a food drive going on so that we can provide canned food for the food bank in preparation for the beginning of school here and, of course, in preparation for winter months. So I tell people that in starting a new business, it's extremely important to have a plan. It doesn't have to be, It does not have to be well involved, but it has to have some basic information. It's got to have a mission and it's got to have a vision, what you're intending to do. It's got to have a why. Why are you doing this? Why are you wanting to go out and work long hours. And if anybody thinks that if you're in a 40-hour job and by going into business for yourself, you're going to work less than 40 hours, you're fooling yourself. Typically, an entrepreneur or any small business owner that has a that starts his own business is going to work 60 to 80 hours, if not more, if they want to make a success of it. On the other hand, if you're happy, you're not happy with a 40-hour job, start small. Work after the 40-hour job. Take 10 or 20 hours and see if you can put something together in a part-time basis. If that works and there's enough and you can generate income from it, whether it be a multi-level marketing type of environment, whether you're going to sell something of that nature or internet marketing, none of these are get-rich-quick schemes, guys. These are all jobs that and processes that take time and take effort. You have to have a lot of good information behind it and a lot of planning. So it's not something that you can just sit down and snap your fingers and all of a sudden the money's going to come rolling in. If it was that simple, everybody would be doing it. And you know, we have a lot of businesses start up and a lot of businesses fail. And you talk to any entrepreneur, one that's been out there and doing this for a long time, and we'll classify them as a serial entrepreneur, which means they're running sometimes more than one business. Their failure, they learn more from their failures sometimes than they do from their successes. But they do have successes and they do have failures. And those are all important things to remember. So when we come back from the break, John Kendall from Oski Blue will be joining me, and we'll have discussions on SEO, what it is, why you need it, and how it will make your business better. So we'll be right back after these breaks. You're listening to the Elliot Jolich Hour on Ohm Times Radio.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Ohm Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Ohm Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Ohm Times endeavor. Host your show with Ohm Times Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on Ohm Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
If you remember living fearlessly, joyfully, and in a world filled with adventure, happiness, pleasure, and unbridled living, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, as I bring you the world's top experts in wealth, creativity, flow, sea-edging technology, space, wellness, health, love, lust, and passion, all merging together each week here at the Hub of Happiness. Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Passionate Living, where you can ride on the magic carpet ride of living and learn how to lead a passionately wild, exciting, and outrageously amazing life.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Ohm Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.ohmtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Ohm Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business. Conscious media for conscious minds. Ohm Times.
Sorry about that. You there, John? I think yep. My mic was Every now and then I forget to turn my mic back on. Welcome to the show, John. John's from Oski Blue. John, tell me a little about yourself and about the company.
Yes. Thanks for having me, Elliot. A little bit about Oski Blue. Oski Blue is a website, SEO, and software company. We've been around for a little over 4.5 years. We're based here in Frisco, Texas. A little about myself. I've been in the industry for about 8. Love the industry. I love studying Google. It's always changing. Love learning about the new social media or Facebook and plugins that are being adapted. All the copious amount of, I guess, opportunities that are out there through online marketing and through different software. Married, 3 kids. That's about everything about me. Anything else that you need to know, I'm happy to answer.
Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Before we get started and talk more about SEO, I wanted to bring something up that I know I've heard from a couple of people in talking in the last 24 hours. To the differential, you know, we talk about Google and all of a sudden now we have a new company out there called Alphabet.
Yes.
And I keep telling people that that Google is still Google and Alphabet is just their parent company now, that they've just kind of broadened their horizons, no matter speaking. Can you address that a little bit?
Yes, there's no effect with regards to their Google platform or SEO. It's more from a financial standpoint. I've read the article a few times to make sure I understood correctly. It was more to just create other opportunities as they go into other ventures with internet service, home automation, and maybe even space they've talked about. So it's more they just want to broaden their reach rather than just being a search engine.
So in reality, I guess we could see either Alphabet's going to take over the world or is going to become the Sears of the internet.
That's probably a fair statement if they're not already there.
Thank you, John. Let's talk a little bit about SEO, about website design, what search engine optimization is, and more importantly, what I'd like to get to is what as a small business owner should be looking for when they're trying to do SEO, whether they do it themselves or whether they hire a company to do it?
Happy to. Now, I always break SEO, search engine optimization, into three categories. There's your website SEO. That's where you're optimizing your titles, your images, keywords on your site. And I call that the vehicle. Then there's the engine of the vehicle, and that's your Google Place and directories. It's important, even if you don't have a brick and mortar, you want to set up your Google Place and optimize that. The last part of SEO is ongoing, where we're actually putting fuel into the vehicle or into your website. There's different ways to do that. A lot of that's through ongoing blogging, creation of YouTube videos linked to your website, link building. Those are going to be your ongoing services to help your site continually rank higher on Google. So those are steps we recommend for people.
Let me ask one question, particularly about Google Place. As you said, everybody needs to kind of adopt that and put their information out there. Though I talk to a lot of business owners, small business owners or sole entrepreneurs, they don't have an office per se. They work out of their house. And certainly you don't want to put your home address in there and have people show up at your home expecting to do business with you. And I've heard pluses and minuses about using a third-party mailbox system because you have an address. How does Google look at that? What's the good and the bad and the ugly of that?
Yeah, no, and so I'll try to shorten this as much as I can. So first off, you can't use a P.O. box. Google has really cracked down. You can't use a post office like a UPS store that's got an extra suite number. They've not only frowned, they're basically blocking those. Now, there's a unique trick. When you're setting up a Google Place, you can use your home address, but you can block it. And what I mean by that, if you go Google My Business and you start setting it up, right at the bottom, there's going to be a little checkbox, and it says, I deliver goods and services to my customers. If you click that box, it will actually hide your address. And what I mean by that, if you know, I'm here in Frisco, we've got house cleaning companies that go out to people. If you search that right now, you'll see them pop up and it will only say Frisco, Texas. It won't give their home address, but they needed to initially put it in so that they could get the PIN code at their home and Google could verify they really were a U.S. company. So you can hide your address, work out of your home, but block it from the community online.
All right. Thank you, John. That's a good tip for everybody to know. I assume that would work anywhere in the U.S.?
Correct. Yes, anywhere in the U.S. They just initially need your address so that they can confirm that you do live there, and then they'll hide it from everyone else.
Got it. So let's talk about the first steps you mentioned, the SEO that actually goes on your website. I'm creating a brand new website for a brand new business. How long would it typically take? I mean, can I get to page one? Is it even feasible anymore to get to page one?
It is. A typical time, what I tell clients, I say it takes 3 to 4 months to get you to the first page of Google. Could it happen faster? Yes. But we've got about 125 plus clients, and I feel pretty confident telling them it's going to take 3 to 4 months. You know, if all the things are in place, we can show results, or, you know, I hate to use the word guarantee, but if it's done right, you can get there within those 3 months.
So what kind of cost would somebody expect to be in hiring an SEO company? Would they expect to pay? I mean, is it affordable?
You know, depending on your business, what people think affordable is, I've been shocked on how broad the spectrum is. I don't mind telling people, you know, our websites are, say, $2,500 to $3,000. And then I hear people go, oh, I know someone that will build it for $500. And then I've gotten people that are like, wow, you're only $3,000. You know, I got a quote for $10,000. There's so many variables on what plugins they want. Is there a back-end software? How many pages? How many keywords they want built into the site? I mean, do they want us to provide the content? Are they writing the content? But hopefully that gives you a little bit of a ballpark. But there are a lot of variables on what goes into a different cost of a website.
So when you're building a website, is SEO considered additional expenses on top of the building of the website, or is it an all-inclusive? How does that work?
In our opinion, it's all-inclusive. You know, we've had experience where people come here and they go, oh, I need you to do SEO on my site now. And we're shocked that it wasn't already built into the site. But that's our philosophy. And there's other good companies out there. But to me, it makes sense. If you're going to build a website, that website company should know that they should be thinking about keywords. They should be thinking about call to actions. They should be thinking about optimizing the H1 tags, the images, how pages are laid out, and make sure it's mobile friendly. You shouldn't have to build a website and then go, oh, now let's make it SEO friendly. To me, I think you want to look for a company that's doing both of those at the same time.
And when a business hires you as a company or hires any website designer, who should own that website?
The business owner, and ask that question. You want that leverage. You want to make sure you own the domain and you own those files to that website.
Thank you, John. That's very good. I've run into a couple of situations that people have had their websites designed and then all of a sudden found out that they didn't own the site when they weren't happy with the company building it.
It's unfortunate. That does happen often.
And sometimes they didn't even own the domain and they had to start all over again. Mm-hmm. So so the next step you were talking about, well, of course, Google Place, that's just basically identifying that you've got a brick and mortar type location. And then you gave us a helpful tip there. And then I don't want to get too far into it. We're coming up on a break here in a couple of minutes, but let's still start talking about it. You had talked about one of the other option or the other piece of SEO is, I can't remember, outside the kind of outside.
Ongoing off-page SEO.
Off-page SEO. That was what SEO. So talk about off-page SEO. What is that?
What you're doing is you're creating links to the website. And what's important about links is they're authoritative links. The old philosophy 5-7 years ago is you would call a company like us and we would go over to, say, the Philippines, and we'd get these 500 website links that are no one's ever heard of or no one ever goes to, and we'd link them to your website. And Google go, wow, you've got 500 websites linking to you. Well, Google gets smarter every day and Google goes, shame on you. We want authoritative, meaning at sites that people go to that get a lot of traffic. And if you could get 3 or 4 of those credible links, those help you rank higher. If you could get Walmart to link to you or McDonald's. So some just quick ones that people are, they're free, that people don't always take advantage of, that are authoritative links, are your Facebook, your Twitter, your LinkedIn, your Better Business Bureau, if you're a part of it, your local chamber, YouTube, Google Plus. And so those, if please understand, is even if you're not going to use those, set them up for no other reason to get that authoritative link.
So let's talk about LinkedIn real quick, like, and make considering an authoritative link. So I have a LinkedIn page for my business, and I go out and I do, and I post in a group or something, and I add a link back to my website. Does that, is that what you're talking about when you say authoritative links?
That's one example. You can get even more aggressive. That's someone just a link to your site on a post, and it's good. But actually, when you're setting up your LinkedIn profile, you can go in there and you can actually say, what is this profile associated with? And you can say, just like when you set up a business page for Facebook, you're linking it to your website. You can link your profile under your contact info, and you can actually link it to your website. And that's probably where that's the authoritative link comes in.
Okay. All right. Thank you, John. So, we've talked about Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. What about Pinterest, Instagram? Or are those becoming effective places now, or is that still? Are we still a little ways away from that?
There's a place for it, depending on your industry. I tell people, if it's very visual, if you're a photographer or you sell clothes, people love to see imagery, and so Pinterest, it can be good. Probably 95% of businesses, there's no real SEO benefit from Pinterest. It's most companies should be focusing on blogs and YouTube videos for the greatest SEO effect.
All right. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. We'll continue this discussion with John. You're listening to the Elliot Jolich Hour. I am Elliot Jolich, the business therapist. And we'll be back right after these messages from Om Times Radio.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book? Or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business. And share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business. Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. This is Elliot Jolich. You're listening to the Elliot Jolich Hour. I am the business therapist, and this afternoon we've been talking about SEO, the purpose of it, and what you can do to make it better. My guest today is John Kendall from Oski Blue. John, welcome again.
Thank you.
So let's continue the discussion of the the offsite or the off pages, I guess you were talking about SEO. What do you see happening with, well, I know there's things like Periscope coming up that for instant video, little video kind of vignettes that people are doing and then saving and posting. Are those showing up as an SEO tool yet, or is it still too early to know what's going to happen with them?
For sure, it's too early. I don't see them coming up with regards to SEO. The main reason is because of titles. I always tell people Google doesn't have eyeballs, so it can't see, but what it does really well is read. And with Google owning YouTube, it's going to put precedence on YouTube, and it really focuses on that title. So it doesn't matter really what the video is of. It's going to target in on where that ranking comes with how the video is titled. And so when people just put my friend, that's probably not a keyword you're going after. But if you wanted a local auto repair shop, you know, you want to put best auto repair shop in Dallas, Texas, that would help with your SEO.
So I hear a lot of people talk about Google AdWords. Is that a good source for figuring out search criteria? Or what other options are there?
Well, within finding out search criteria, within Google AdWords, there's a free tool called Google Keyword Planner. And that's where I tell people to go is you don't actually have to spend money in Google Ads. Just open a Google AdWords account. And once you're open, the fourth tab over, it will say Tools and Analytics. And once you click on it, the fourth tab down will say Google Keyword Planner. And what this tool does, it actually tells you what people are searching. So if you're a, let's put auto repair shop, you can actually put auto repair in your city, and it's going to tell you how many people search that phrase and the next 50 closest. So that now you know how to title your blogs, how to title your videos, what keywords to put in your website, because you might think you know what people are searching, but Google's going to tell you how people are typing in. Sometimes they might even be misspelling it so that you know how to target your clients and what keywords you want to rank for.
So sometimes when we see things that are misspelled, it's intentional, not an accident?
Ironically enough, it is. I don't have much time, but yeah, I've got a good story. Someone made a lot of money intentionally misspelling words.
Wow. So, but there's so many other stories like that too, that just by accident, mm-hmm. that make things exciting in here. What do we see happening to Google? What kind of insight can you give us is over the next 6 months? Because I'm hearing all the time that Google changes constantly. Their search criteria, what they're looking for. As you mentioned earlier about Google Places, they're getting after these mailbox places if using an office space. Let me ask that question too. If you have if you're part of an executive suite type environment where you have an office inside an executive suite or even a virtual office, is that penalizing you too from a Google Play standpoint?
It actually is. It is penalizing you. Google. I always tell people Google only allows one business per address. So if you're at a Regis office where there might be 100 companies sharing the same office, only one person can own that address online. So it is penalizing you, or you need to find some of the loopholes. One of them is just add a letter to it. So if you're at a Regis office and it's Suite 300, well, go and check. If no one's done Suite 300C, do C, or 300CC. And then now all of a sudden you have a unique address. So that's one of the ways to get around there. But you've got to be careful that you're not using an address that everyone else might be trying to optimize themselves.
So I guess we need to get with the executive search company or the executive suite companies here to fix their address structure.
Correct. Yeah.
Until Google changes their design structure again.
Yeah, exactly, until it switches again.
So, now, what I heard recently here, maybe a few months ago, that Google started penalizing people for not having a mobile-aware website. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, April 21st, they did their mobile update. What they were saying, and let me tell you the reason behind it, is they were going to penalize businesses that didn't have a mobile-friendly website. And their purpose behind it is, so many people are searching online that Google, the whole reason we all use Google is we have a good experience. Well, we're using Google, and if we see all these sites that aren't user-friendly and are hard to read on our mobile devices, a lot of times we blame Google and want to go to other search engines. So Google's basically forcing their hand, saying, well, we want people to have a good experience when they search for a business. So if you don't make it a good experience on your site, we're gonna get you off of there. And we have firsthand seen companies being affected by that. So it's pretty imperative that you make your site mobile friendly, or the word we use in our industry is responsive, meaning it adjusts to a tablet or mobile phone.
Okay. And then and I know, John, one of the things you do, because as I've told the audience before, I know John through the chamber here. I live in Frisco also, and I've been a member of the Frisco Chamber for a couple of years. And I know John does a lot of pay it forward and a lot of giving back by offering seminars to chamber members, and I guess to anybody really if they're in the local area. You're doing strictly physical web seminars right now, right? Nothing, no webinars?
No webinars. Well, we do them some through the colleges. We do a few webinars teaching them. But a lot of our local ones are not webinars. They're in person at our office or at different chambers or different associations that we go visit.
So if people wanted to find out more about your company get a better idea of what you could offer them, how would they reach you, John?
Our website is oskyblue.com. That's OSKYBLUE.com. They can also email me, John, just JON@oskyblue.com. Those are the easiest ways. And we have a brick and mortar location where 14 of our staff are. So if they're in the area, they're welcome to come into the office, and we sit down and do consultations and make sure, even if they're not using us, at least point them in the right direction.
All right. Thank you, John. And I've got to, because I know a little bit of the story behind that. Tell us about Oski Blue. Who is Oski Blue?
Oski Blue, if you go to the site, you'll notice there's a bulldog associated with Oski Blue. My partner's dog, his name is his real name is Oski, and my favorite color is blue. And so there's real no marketing strategy behind it, but we just took his favorite dog and my favorite color, and that's how we came up with the name Oski Blue.
And 4.5 years later, here you are.
We're still around, and the dog's still alive and doing well.
Well, that's good to hear, John. So for your portion here, we're just about out of time. We've got a few more minutes there. Could you wrap up in a few brief ideas or sentences? If somebody was out looking for hiring an SEO company or a website company, what would you tell them they ought to be looking for?
Yes, happy to, because there's other good companies. These are the things when people go, what should I look for? I always say Google the actual company. And what I mean by that is you type in their name and type in maybe reviews and see what their Google reviews have to say, their Yelp reviews. Sometimes Glassdoor has information about the company. Just find out what other people are saying. Questions to ask when you call a company, you already touched on, Elliot, is ask who owns the website. Make sure that you're going to own the domain, you're going to own the files, so that if at any time you were to leave, that it would be a smooth transition. See if they have any examples of people. I was, in our defense and others, if they have some good examples, it may not be in the same industry, but make sure they can show that they have success stories that they can review and, I guess, firsthand show, rather than just telling, go, hey, let's pull up a few websites of our clients that you can review and you can see why they're ranking well and I can kind of dissect them. And those are some of the steps that I would take that I think are pretty important, that you feel comfortable with them. I don't think you always have to use a local company, but one that can communicate with your level. Some prefer over the phone, some prefer through email or in person. Make sure you find a company that works, I guess, around your timetable and it fits your needs.
All right. Thank you, John. What in closing here also, what do you expect? I mean, if I'm hiring a company, what am I going to be locked into a long-term contract? Is it going to be, I mean, what type of time frame should I be looking at?
This is our slogan, and hopefully others. But there are a lot of companies that do contracts. At Oski Blue, we don't do contracts. But what I always tell people, I go, even though we don't do contracts with us or someone else, you need to give them at least 3 months. So people will come to us and they go, hey, I'm with another SEO company. I've been with them for 3-4 weeks and I haven't seen results. I'll openly tell them that they should actually stick it out because it wouldn't be fair to us or them that someone was expecting results that quickly. It's different if you're doing Google ads or Facebook ads, but if you're expecting SEO, go with the understanding that it's going to take 3 months to see the fruits of your labors.
Okay. Thank you, John. Now, let's bring, just in closing here, do you get any benefit to SEO out of using Google ads or Facebook ads?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that is they tell you no, but we have enough clients. I think we've got about 126 ongoing clients. And there is a coincidence, if you want to call it that, those that were also doing Google ads, they seem to move up faster the Google search engine. And under more keywords, they seem to rank higher. So I've seen people have success without doing Google ads, but for sure I've also seen more consistent success with those that also do Google ads with their SEO.
So maybe a little favoritism there.
Yes, that's just one person's opinion, but yeah, I would probably lean that way.
Well, and I would be surprised if there wasn't at least a little bit of favoritism. So, John, I wanted to thank you for coming on and talking to us and giving us some insight into SEO and the importance of it and the fact that SEO will not happen overnight, which I've told a lot of my clients, and they still want to think – they still find companies out there that says, yeah, we can get you there in a week. And I keep telling them, no, you can't. But it takes time and it takes effort and it takes a lot of work, whether you do it yourself or whether you hire a company to do it. John, any last closing remarks?
No, I appreciate it, Elliot. I always thought high of you. I know you're a great coach, a business coach for people. I just tell people, be cautious. Always review whatever company, even if it's not SEO, whatever company. Just research them, and I think you'll find out a lot of good information.
Thanks very much, John. Appreciate having you on the show here. You're listening to the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am Elliot Jolish, the business therapist. You're listening on Ohm Times Radio, and we'll be back right after these messages.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Ohm Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Ohm Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Ohm Times endeavor. Host your show with Ohm Times Radio Network.
Want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Ohm Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Radio Namaste leads you down the yellow brick road into portals of consciousness with the blue-collar goddess as your host. Interviews with humans who could be famous or just popular, and answers to everything are on the agenda. Tune into Ohm Times Radio and drop in on Thursdays at 3 Eastern. It's a different brand of enlightenment.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Ohm Times Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Elliot Jolish and the Elliot Jolish Hour. For those of you that are just joining us, you've missed a wonderful presentation by John Kendall from Oski Blue concerning SEO and the importance of it, what to look for when you hire an SEO company, and what you can do yourself. There's a lot more information out there. There's half a dozen articles you can find I know different magazines have given articles on it. And of course, always check out the website, Oski Blues website. They've got some information on there that could be helpful. And they'd be happy to sit down and talk with you, whether you live here in the Frisco area in person or over the phone. So in continuing this conversation, again, for those of you that have not heard the big news, that, of course, Google is still Google, but they have a new name, and that's called Alphabet. But let's not confuse things, because Alphabet is basically the structure of the corporation, and Google itself is still Google. You will not see Alphabet on the search pages or anything. You will still see the word Google. And again, it's probably the most important thing you can do when you're looking for figuring out how to be found by your clients. But recognizing that, of course, going out and using Google Keyword Planner to figure out what words are the best for searches, and figuring out what your company does and how it should be searched for. There's a lot of different opportunities, and there are a lot of different programs out there that you can use. Some free, some are not free. In order to come up with words for that go into SEO that you use when you're writing articles, I highly recommend that to be found, you have to be heard. And to be heard, you have to put yourself out there. So go out to LinkedIn. If you're not part of LinkedIn, join up, build yourself a good profile, put a good picture in there. If not of yourself, of at least of your product, if you're building a business page, because you can build a business page in LinkedIn as well as a personal page. But but take a good picture. Go find a professional photographer. Spend a few dollars and get a picture that looks professional, not just a snapshot, not something from your phone. The more professional an image you present, the better it is for your clients or your customers, and people will respect you. If you're going into business, get yourself a domain. It's very inexpensive, $12, $20 maybe a year for a basic domain. There's a dozen different sites that are good. Do some research on it. I happen to use GoDaddy. But there are others out there that are just as good. Some are smaller. Some are there's nothing really larger. GoDaddy's got its problems, but so all sites will have some problems. But GoDaddy is just as good. I've had very good success with GoDaddy, and I like their support. They're there 24 hours a day, and I've never had a problem picking up the phone, even at 3 o'clock in the morning, getting somebody to help me with a problem. So the And once you've done that, once you've got your LinkedIn profile and you've built it up, go start making connections. Connect with people that you know. Connect with prior business associates if you've come out of the corporate world. Connect with your clients. Get them to refer back to you. Get them to write a testimonial that you can put on your LinkedIn page. Then go in and find some groups that are particular to your industry and join those groups. Then participate. The more you participate, the more you'll become known, and then people will start being attracted towards you. The same with Twitter. I suggest to people, you know, they say, well, what purpose is Twitter? Twitter is there for immediate access, for getting the word out. You want to run a special, you can tweet it out. You want to run, you know, you have information to get to your clients or potential new prospects. Again, you can tweet it out. You can also go find people that you support, that you respect in an industry that you're part of, and retweet some of what they say, or add in your own comments, or start rewriting your own copy. It's very important to basically create your own image, to create your own persona, and you do that by getting out there, by publishing. Whether you write. Some people say write a book. That's okay, but start small. Work on blogs. Write articles. Articles for blogs don't have to be a lot. I run into the problem all the time. They have these great ideas, but they don't know how to write. That's fine. There's a couple of ways. You can hire a ghostwriter, give them the basics, have them write something, and then correct it if it's not the way exactly you want. That's one way to do it. Go take a writing course. Go learn to write. The other way is just start writing. Create a journal that you can go write in every day, and the more you write, the better you'll become at it. The key here is to go and do something. doesn't have to be perfect. You can go on the internet and look at tons of stuff. Go look in Facebook. You'll find tons of stuff that is silly, not perfect, kind of ridiculous, but it's out there because people put it out there. And to be successful in a small business environment, you've got to get your name known. Now, don't get crude. Don't get rude. Always be professional about what you do. But one of the biggest problems I see with people is we'll call it procrastination. And procrastination a lot of times is the fear of the unknown. You've written something and it's not quite perfect. And you want it to go out there perfect. So you're not going to put it out there until it's perfect. And what happens? It'll never get out there because it'll never be perfect. And the key here being is just put it out there. You know, you can go in and edit it if you have to. You can go in and change things. You'll get some comments maybe, and you can agree or disagree with those comments. You can, but by putting yourself out there, you get yourself known. And that becomes extremely important when you're trying to build a business. And that's exactly what we're trying to do, is we're trying to build a business. So it's very important that all of this be part of your planning process. You know, we're going to kind of wrap this up in a big package and put a bow around it from some standpoint. It's all part of your business plan. I tell my clients all the time that a business plan is a living, breathing document. I can remember the days, you know, if you had a particularly, we call them strategic plans sometimes. I'm going to look at less than a strategic plan, just a business plan, a plan that you start with to start your business with and how you're going to grow. It should be a living, breathing document. It should be there on your desk or right there where you can pull it up and write on it or update it or change it. If you write something in Word, I tell people, turn the track changes, turn it on so that everything you write and change around, you'll have a record of. There are other programs that can do it too. I don't have any off the top of my head, but I know there's some other programs that do it. Another good program for taking notes in and stuff is Evernote. You can go download Evernote. It's for free. And use it, particularly when you're searching the web, you're going out and looking at ideas, and you come up with something, and I can write an article on that. Or that's a great idea. I ought to let my clients know about that. You can capture that information. Same with Twitter. Go find people that are important to you, that you follow, that you learn from, that you're mentors, and then follow them and build a presence that way. And you'll get people to follow you the same way. And reach out to people. If they connect with you and they start following you, go look at their site. And if it's something that you can buy into, follow them back or thank them at least for following you. So if you check my, I have Twitter feed, I have a Facebook page, I have both personal and a business page. And of course, I have a website. I'm not as up to date on my website as I'd like to be. I've got to work on that. That's one of my goals for the end of the year, is to make some improvements in the website and to make it bigger and better. So the real key here is just to do something, is to make sure that you're moving forward, that you are laying plans out, and that all of this has to be built around goals. So again, write 3 or 4 goals out. Make them specific, give them a timeline. These are different goals than from what your financial goals might be. Your financial goals are for a year-long process. So it's very important that you establish those and that you review them on a regular basis. I know I sometimes drive this kind of into the ground that your goals, we just finished another month. We're here, it's the 11th of August. And, you know, we've got 4.5 months left in the year. And then what would you have done? I don't want to see another business necessarily closing its doors because of improper planning. It's an issue that disturbs me. And find a coach, whether it's myself or somebody else. There are coaches out there. Find somebody that you can connect with, that understands what you're trying to do and that you can respect, and hire them. You go out and you talk to any, you look at any of the business magazines, you talk to any, Bill Gates has said it. The CEO, the original CEO of Google has said it, and Amazon too, that you need a coach. Why do you think we've got all these sports athletics out there that have their own coaches? A lot of them have more than one, and to do a great job. Business is the same way. Find a coach that you can connect with, that can help you, that can hold you accountable, that can at least call to your attention things that you should be doing that you're not doing, and then call you on the carpet when you don't do it. Because when you're a sole entrepreneur, a lot of times you don't have anybody else to answer to. And then make sure that the people around you support you. That's a huge issue. Family, friends, if they can't support you, well, you can't get rid of your family, but you can certainly change your friends. Find friends that will support you. Find friends that understand what you're doing and why you're doing it and are there for you to help you do it. They don't have to do it. They don't have to buy anything from you. But they have to be there, you know, for you to talk to. They have to be there to say, hey, how are things going? What could we do to help? You know, those are the types of friends you want. If you've got friends that are saying, well, God, John, you can't do that. Why are you trying to do that? Well, it's time to find new friends is the way I look at it. So, and then, of course, your important thing is your why. And we'll talk more about that next week. But it's amazing how fast the hour has gone. Again, I'm Elliot Jolish. This has been the Elliot Jolish Hour. I am the business therapist. And we've been listening. You've been listening on Om Times Radio. I want to thank Om Times Radio for this. We'll see you all next week, Tuesday, same time, same place. Take care. Bye-bye.